on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? Happy Thanksgiving week and happy championship week at the University of South Dakota. I told you last week that we might not have a podcast this week on the YokeCast podcast, but I did leave open the possibility that we might do it. So here we are, because why not? Thanksgiving week, when you win a football game that you rally from behind and win a Missouri Valley Football Conference championship, and when volleyball wins a conference championship in the tournament, you have a podcast. So here we are. This week, it's going to focus all on football. We're building off that momentum as they get ready for the playoffs. And I'm sure next week we'll talk a little volleyball, as by then they will know what their situation is for the NCAA tournament. So really, really exciting week for Coyote Athletics. Obviously, the rally on Sunday, the football conference championship, and then, of course, the Coyotes beat South Dakota State for the first time this year, and they do it in the Summit League Tournament Championship on Tuesday night and punch their ticket to the NCAA tournament. So what a week it has been in Coyote Athletics, and I'm fired up. This is a good week. Good week to have Thanksgiving. We don't want to stop, though, any games. We want to keep the games going. Let's build off this momentum, you know, and keep on winning. But we'll take it, and really excited. The football playoffs, obviously, straight ahead, and we'll know on Sunday the volleyball situation as far as the NCAA selection show is concerned. Great to have you for another episode of the podcast. I hope you've had a tremendous Thanksgiving and weekend of travel, family, friends, however you choose to spend it. I hope you're having a good time and you get rested up, because next weekend we've got a big, big weekend with, of course, volleyball and football in the postseason. And obviously, we still got basketball playing and all of that. So keep an eye out for everything going on in Coyote Athletics. Well, we are building off of the momentum from football. And this podcast 100% is focused on the game of football and the Coyote football team. We did not have a Coyote report on Monday. However, during our basketball pregame show, as the Coyotes got set to take on Randall University, I was joined by Bob Nielsen for a couple of conversations, and so I'm going to share that with you. That'll be coming up here in the podcast. I also had a chance to catch up with senior center Joey Lombard, and we'll get things started with Nate Ewill spending his final year of eligibility at the University of South Dakota. The linebacker transfer from Grandview made the final tackle, upending Bryce Lance, that ended the lateral play for North Dakota State and ended that come-from-behind effort for South Dakota. So I had a chance to catch up with Nate about his decision to go from the NAIA to Division I and how he has adapted so quickly to Coyote football. Nate, you're coming off of, obviously, what an incredible comeback effort for this group to beat North Dakota State and win a share of a conference championship. Has that soaked in yet for a lot of you guys, just on what that means for the program and what it means for you guys individually?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we're all soaking it in still. It's new to South Dakota. It was new for a lot of the guys. It's something big that we've never done here before. And we're all having a very good time about it, especially with it being North Dakota State, a team that we had our eyes on, number one team, a team that's won plenty of conference championships, plenty of titles, and, you know, very good team in that aspect. So for us to be able to come in and, you know, get the job done means a lot.
You have made some big plays throughout the course of the season, but in this game, the biggest game, arguably, of the season, you have 10 tackles, you make the final tackle that ends the thing, all of that, you get credited with a conference award, with the newcomer of the week. What does that mean to you, like, reflecting on that and just, like, how you've built within this program this year?
It means a lot to me, especially coming in as a transfer. All the guys around me, defense, offense, all the coaches are very welcoming. It's really a brotherhood, and I feel like, you know, being able to go out with everybody else and, you know, play together is really what it comes down to and what makes me what makes me be able to shine. You know, everybody, because we have a really good defense, really good offense. We spread the ball out. Everybody, you know, has their fair share of tackles. So for me to be able to have a good game, I feel like it wasn't just me alone. It was, you know, all my brothers that helped.
Take us through, not the final play, but the drive where your defense has to get a stop, right? You have to get a stop. You're down by five. You have to be able to get the ball back into the hands of the offense. Take us through that drive and kind of the mindset of this group after, you know, North Dakota State had put together a couple of long drives. How'd you guys buckle down and get it done?
All week we were, especially in the linebacker room, talking about taking our thoughts and making those actions and the belief, you know, you're down 14 or, you know, you're down however many points with 4 minutes left, got to get a stop. Offense has to score. A lot of things have to go your way. And without believing it's going to go your way, it probably won't happen. And I feel like me, along with everyone else on the team, we never believed that weren't going to win that game. So with us, you know, not turning that belief off and not giving up, not just saying, hey, you know, we'll make it to the playoffs. Us, you know, continuing to go and do things, play our game, believe that we were going to win, really, really helped us out there.
Take me through that final play. You know that potential lateral play is coming, and you know how crazy those things can get. They're throwing the ball all over the field. You end up making the last tackle that ended that football game from the snap. Kind of what was your mindset? What were you seeing?
From the very beginning, I was about 30 yards deep, just worrying about, you know, getting the ball down at all costs. I didn't want to let anything get behind me. And when they threw that check down, at that point, I knew it was going to be a lateral play. So I got downhill, and I just needed to get the ball down. That was all I was going through my head, get the ball down, get the ball down, get the ball down. And when I seen that ball pop up, and I know I had a chance to go make that play, my instincts just kicked in to go make that play. And after that, it was a very surreal feeling. The dome went crazy, you know. Team storming the field, coaches running around, everyone's crying. It was really a movie, and it was a great feeling, and it's still great.
Yeah, you got to enjoy moments like that, especially a senior day. You know, you're spending the last year of your career here at South Dakota, and you came from Grandview, which is an NAIA school. So this is a pretty big jump in competition. Did you always believe you could play at a higher level than that? What led you to South Dakota?
Me personally, I've always thought I should be playing at the highest possible level. I've always had that grit and that determination behind me to where I thought I can go play anywhere and make an impact anywhere. At Grandview, I had a very good 3 years there. Loved the coaches, loved my teammates. But I felt like it was time for me to, you know, go play some big boy ball and go up in the ranks. And I talked to my head coach, and then I got in contact with Coach Johansson, which he made everything, the transition and getting here very easily and seamlessly, showed his interest in me, showed me everything about the program. I talked to Coach Hodge. I liked everything he had to say. You know, they were very welcoming to me. So I felt like coming here was definitely the very good decision.
What's been the biggest adjustment from playing ball at Grandview and that level to Division One? What was the biggest adjustment you personally had to make if you were going to be successful?
I would feel like it was the playbook and how much that football actually matters at this level. At NAIA, obviously, it matters a lot, and everybody wants to win. It's always the same outcome at whatever level. You all want the same thing, but I feel like it just means so much more here. And, you know, jumping into that playbook, making sure I understood everything, making sure I understood all the little checks, all the calls, so I can, you know, because we have a real senior-oriented defense, and some of these guys have been here for 4 or 5 years. So with me coming into 1 year, I know I had to dive into that playbook if I was, you know, looking to attend to leave my mark here and start and be out on the field with those guys. I know I had to be up to that same caliber that they were. So jumping into that playbook was a really big, really big deal for me.
Our fans were a little bit concerned last year. We lost some linebackers we'd had around the program for a long time, and they were good ones, right? And they look at this linebacking group at the start of this year, and they say, man, who are some of these guys, right? And you got you and Gary had been around but hadn't really played a whole lot. And same with Gabe, mostly on special teams. And Tevin, a little bit the same. Some of these guys, how did this linebacking group just continue to come together throughout the course of the year and continue to build and be a successful group the way that – I mean, you talk about it being a veteran defense, not veteran at the – linebacker spot, at least with the experience at South Dakota. How did this group come together?
Going into the season, we were all very aware of everyone not knowing how the linebacker room was going to end up and how it was going to be. So we all kind of, you know, we put our heads down and we just worked and we just grinded and we, you know, watching film, watching practice, other teams, talking with each other, getting closer in the room because we're all pretty much fairly new to each other. So we, you know, we're just creating a bond and just working hard just to, so there wouldn't be any of the questions of who are these guys, who are these linebackers. We felt like we had to go out and let everybody know who we were. And we have to obviously show that. Can't just talk about it. Can't just, you know, flaunt about it. Can't say, hey, this is my name. This is us. Like, no, we had to go out and show people exactly who we were, and I feel like we're doing a pretty good job with that right now.
What's Coach Hodge bring to this linebacker room?
Coach Hodge brings a lot to the room. Coach Hodge is a coach that is not just all about the football. He wants to see you be a better man. He wants to give you life lessons. You know, obviously all of that applies to football, but it applies to real life at the same time. He wants to see the best in everyone. You know, we have a linebacker group, specifically we'll go off and have fellowships and dinners together on some weekends, sometimes throughout the week. And, you know, we're just really close-knit, and I feel like he brings us all together, and he loves to see that type of thing, and he wants us to be successful in all aspects of life.
You got his energy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He always brings the energy. That's the one thing we say in the linebacker room is we go as we go. So, if we don't have a good game, everyone else might not have a good game. We kind of feed off of our own energy. We feel like we bring the energy. Usually when you're talking about a defense, you know, your linebackers are usually those captains of the defense. Your mic backer, you know, really tries to run the show. So when we go as we go, you know, we bring the energy. We play good, you know. We do things that people might not do. We pick up things off the floor and other people might walk past. You know, other people see that. This is a we go thing. They're going to do that. They're going to follow. So I feel like if we're always where we need to be, we will all be as where we need to be.
What's the message going forward with this group? Obviously, you get a weekend off, chance to kind of heal the bodies a little bit and kind of mentally reset, kind of a little bye week here. But obviously, you're going to be very focused on whatever team is going to come in here. What's the mindset here is make sure this team's ready to go in 2 weeks?
For us, a big thing right now is making sure everyone's healthy, making sure everybody is at 100% ready to go, making sure minds are reset, and making sure we're not losing focus of what our mission is, which has been to win the championship, which we've done once. But, you know, we want to win the second one. We want the big one. So, you know, everybody not losing track of that, just staying committed how we have been for the last year, you know, leading up to this season is would be the biggest thing. Just not losing focus, worrying about us as we have been all year.
You came from a program, different level, but you went deep into the playoffs. Can you use some of that experience, help guide some of these guys who maybe not been able to experience that?
Yes. So going deep into the playoffs for a couple of years is definitely a different feeling, different vibe than regular season games. And that was a different level. But I feel like at the end of the day, playoffs are the playoffs. You know, best players come out in the playoffs. Best teams come out in the playoffs. And I feel like I've been a part of those teams. I've been around those different players now, so I can kind of feel and see, like, hey, we need to get away from this, get back to, you know, our fundamentals. We need to get back to doing us. We need to do this. We need to do that. So I feel like with my experience, I'll definitely be able to help guide some of the younger guys in this and lead this team to do something that we have never done before.
All right, we're excited for it. Good luck the rest of the way. I'm glad you got to spend a year at the University of South Dakota. I appreciate your time very much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That is Nate Ewell. He is a transfer linebacker that came from Grandview University and obviously coming off of a great game, and this week was named the Missouri Valley Football Conference Newcomer of the Week. So congratulations to him, and hopefully a few more games in a Coyote uniform are straight ahead. A guy who's played plenty of games in a Coyote uniform, and we hope more and more and more, is the center for South Dakota, Joey Lombard. We talked this week about the opportunity for him and his responsibilities of lining up that Coyote offensive line.
Few days removed from obviously that comeback effort against North Dakota State and winning a share of the Missouri Valley Football Conference Championship, has it soaked in? Have you been able to enjoy the thought of the effort of this group? And I know you guys got bigger goals, but you have to be able to enjoy this for at least right now.
Yeah, it's certainly something that we took some time to enjoy. Obviously, the bigger goal is still at hand, but getting to do something that no team has done here at this level is something that, you know, you have to take a little pride in. So it has sank in a little bit. I think still it's kind of slowly getting there to the fullest extent. But it's really just a great feeling and just so rewarding for everyone that puts so much time and effort into trying to get there. So
take us through the final couple of plays. Obviously, Aiden gets sacked, and I know you guys take a lot of pride in keeping him upright, but for whatever reason things collapsed and he gets sacked, and I know there's frustration when that happens, but you have to get, you know, focused up for the next play. What was going through your mind and those guys as you're trying to line up the offense and get this thing going for another play?
Credit to Aiden. I think we kind of understood that we were in 2 minute for like the last two drives there, so the urgency had already been there, and the ball got downed, and you know, for me, it's just trying to get the protection call from the sideline so I can get everyone right, get us on the right guys. And, you know, I honestly had no idea how much time was left. I didn't know there was only 12 seconds. I thought we had a little bit more, but obviously the sack had the clock running. So, you know, it is a bit of a scramble drill, but, you know, it's stuff we practice every week. So testament to our coaches getting us ready for stuff like that. And it showed up, you know, huge for us being able to recover from giving up a sack to getting lined up and give him enough time to get a ball off. Luckily, you know, Javion was wide open, but it's never how you practice it, but it worked out perfect. So
what was your reaction in the moment? Just like, I mean, everybody was kind of like, holy crap, did this just happen? What was your reaction?
Yeah, no, I don't even think I really got to celebrate that part much right away. I kind of froze. You know, just seeing him open, I saw him open, I kind of saw the ball floating, it was all kind of slow motion from there. I saw him catch it and get in the end zone, and I just kind of started looking around. The crowd was going crazy, obviously the sideline, and you know, teammates were running all over the place. So it was a lot to take in. It was a really cool moment to be on the field for and get to experience just the energy from such a comeback and such just a great game in general. That the crowd was outstanding, and the energy in there was phenomenal.
I know you talked about getting the protection calls from the sideline, and I think a lot of people understand this. You're kind of the quarterback of that offensive line and making sure they're lined up. So not just from this past weekend, but all season long, what's kind of your responsibilities outside of snapping the ball to the quarterback, right? What's kind of your responsibilities pre-snap, and what are you looking for?
So, you know, with the success that we've been able to have on offense this year, teams have thrown a lot at us. So, you know, there's some games are normally like in years past where, you know, it's really not that big of a job. But some games, you know, they're moving the front, stuff's changing pre-snap, right before the ball snapped, and we got to, you know, identify our linebackers. So, you know, there's plays where we have three combos and, you know, I have to set it so everyone else can know where they're going. So some of that stuff, it just requires thinking on the fly and having a mastery and understanding of your game plan so that when that stuff changes, you understand exactly what the defense is doing and what we want to do with the play we're running. So I think just, you know, being verbal and getting the calls that I need to each guy on the line is priority number one, and just making sure, you know, if that ball snapped, we're not going to be cutting guys loose and, you know, being on the right guys. So just understanding what the defense is trying to do, what we're trying to do, and being loud enough so the guys can hear me, which it's not always the easiest. My voice is normally pretty gone by the fourth quarter of every game, so.
When you're going through a game, obviously there's going to be mistakes on the line, whether it's, you know, holding penalties, there's false starts, there's things like that. And, I mean, you've had your share. Everybody goes through it, right? That's just part of the game. How do you try to help these guys keep their head up, keep moving forward, and not get down about a mistake that potentially is costly, right? If it's a second and manageable and it becomes second and long, that can be tough to process. How do you try to move on from that, knowing that this offense is capable of making up for those errors?
Yeah, it's difficult. I think the speed of the game is really fast. You know, you run a play, and 40 seconds later, at max, you know, you're up there snapping the ball again, so if you're holding on to something from a previous play, it's going to spiral. And that's something that I had to learn through my career, you know, stuff that I dealt with in my earlier years of playing. But it's really just being positive and lifting guys up. It's difficult because a lot of times you want to have urgency, and urgency can come off as negativity sometimes when, you know, you're trying to get after someone. But really just letting guys know, you know, like you said, mistakes happen. And this is high-level football. No one's going to play a perfect game. No one has ever. So when those mistakes do come up, like having the confidence to know that, you know, everything's going to be okay, get up on the ball, and we're going to roll the guy the next play. So
talk about this offensive line. I mean, a few of you guys have now been together a little bit. Obviously, Adrian Hawkins came in this year, but this is a group that has stuck together and kind of figured this thing out and really paving the way for a really good offense. And Coach Nate, Nate's come in here and he's helped. So talk about that group and just kind of what this offensive line is.
It's been beautiful to see just the growth. You know, like I said, no unit's perfect, but we've had a real just focus and commitment to growth. And Coach Nady's completely been the driver of that. There's no complacency in our room. And if Coach Nady sniffs any of it, he'll call it out right away. And I just think seeing the group that we were at the start of the year, it's where we are now, where we've been able to go, has been really cool. And you know, we've got more games ahead, so it'll be exciting to see, you know, where we can keep going. But you know, Hawk coming in, and you know, Jordan kind of having his first year being a real starter, you know, everyone kind of brings their own thing to this line. And we've meshed really well together. We work really well together. We communicate well, and I think it's just allowed us to play a much faster style of play and much more physical. We're very confident in the things that we can do and the schemes that we're running. And the coaches have done a good job just in practice, getting us the practice we need and helping us build that confidence. But, you know, we're a really confident unit. So we just feel like we can take anyone's best shot and give a better one back. And I think that's been the mentality that's helped us be so successful.
All season long, your offensive line has led an offense that has put 40 points on the board multiple times every home game, except for North Dakota State, right? And multiple times this year, and really high level of yardage, over 400 or 500 yards a game. And really, you look at it, you got the top two running backs in the Missouri Valley Football Conference that are both averaging more than 80 yards a game on the season, which is incredible. The offensive line probably doesn't get enough credit for that. How do you accept that, that's your role? Probably doesn't get enough credit, but without you guys, there's no way those numbers happen.
You know, this is our life. You know, we didn't just start playing O-line. You know, we've grown up playing this position, and there's sometimes it's a gloryless position, but you can ask any of the guys that play line here. You know, we love celebrating touchdowns with our guys, you know, like – you know, our guys do a great job of celebrating with us and you know, letting us know that they appreciate us. That is, you know, definitely there. But, you know, we care about winning at the end of the day. And, you know, there's all the stats with the success that our running backs have had and how many sacks we give up and stuff. But, you know, the amount of games we've been able to win and the success we've had is all the, you know, that's all the glory we can ask for, and being able to win a conference championship. So, you know, it's all cool, and I know sometimes it feels like the spotlight's not necessarily on us, but, you know, it being on this team and just the success we've been able to have is really all that we need.
What's the hardest part of your position? I mean, obviously you have to snap the ball and you have to line everybody up, and sometimes you get asked to pull around the edge. I would imagine that's difficult after snapping the ball. What's the most challenging for you?
Oh, man.
Or it's all easy at this point?
No, it's not, not one part of it's easy, I can promise you that. You know, that's a great question. You know, there's any time, you know, you're center, you're kind of a lot closer to the D-line than a lot of people, I think. Just any time you're asked to one-on-one block a guy, you know, on the front side of a run, I think that's one thing about playing center that most people don't realize. Like, you're on the front side of every run. And a lot of times I am working with my guards on plays, but there's some where you're one-on-one with the D-tackle and the ball's coming right up your gap. And I just think any time you're in that situation, you know, it's difficult to make sure your guy's not in on the tackle or affecting the play at all. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that are difficult about it, but that's probably one of them.
Is there a block you've had at South Dakota that you remember the most, stands out for you?
Oh, man. There's probably a few, maybe not for the best reasons, honestly. there's honestly a few where they've got me out in space a few times, and I don't necessarily look all that athletic or anything. But it's funny how you tend to remember those ones the most. But I honestly remember more of like the iconic plays that we have together than the blocks. You know, I mean, I've played. I can't even tell you how many snaps I've played at this point, so there's not really a ton that I hold on to. There's kind of the few, like, you know, like your welcome to Division I football moments and stuff like that I'll always remember. So I don't know why it's probably more the negative ones, but you know, yeah, I don't know. When I'm asked that, I just go back to plays like the Hail Mary against State and stuff like that, where, you know, it's more of a team just awesome moment. And you know, there's good blocks and there's bad blocks in every game, so I don't really hold on to many of them.
I know this team believes it can win all the remaining games that it has. You competed with the top teams, right, in the country up to this point, and you're one of the top teams in the country. When you look at where this thing's at right now, think back to 2 years ago. It was a really tough year. Coming off a playoff year, didn't get a lot of good things done that year. Ended in a really tough way at home in that game against Northern Iowa, and everybody remembers that game. Did you imagine at that point that this program could be, I mean, last year where it was, this year where it is, for where things were at that point in the season?
Yeah, going 3-8, it's difficult. You know, that's obviously not a very successful season, and I know once a season like that ends, it's hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Like, where do we go from here? And I think that's where there's a major credit to the upperclassmen on this team, you know, because that was 2 years ago, kind of when we were emerging as upperclassmen. And, you know, we were really faced with a decision, and it was, you know, not seeing this going anywhere and kind of giving up on it, or saying, you know, we can really build something here. And I just think that's what makes where we're at so rewarding right now. You know, we were staring that season, you know, down the chute, and we decided that we were going to come together and really take ownership of this program and just start building a culture that could win games. And, you know, a huge part of that is some of the coaching that's come in here and really help instill just, you know, just good football in the whole team. But, you know, these guys around me, these upperclassmen, these seniors have worked tirelessly to get this program where it's at. And I think being able to look back at, yeah, we were 3-8, we felt like we had all the talent we needed, and just kind of the climb of the ladder to here is really cool to look back on and understand that we all have a hand in it.
It's pretty special. I mean, obviously where this thing's at, obviously more gratifying knowing what you've gone through to get to this point. What's the message now to this group? Obviously you get a week off, chance to rest up, and then back at it at home and here in a couple of weeks. Is this something where you guys gather around and watch that game together on Saturday? You kind of watch it separately? Kind of what's the hope going forward? What's the message to this group as you embark on this playoff journey?
Yeah, you know, the game, Tarleton and Drake will be on in the team room on Saturday. But you know, we're just really excited. We're really excited to keep playing ball late in the year and, you know, obviously have a chance to host some home playoff games if as long as we keep winning. And that's all really exciting. But, you know, our mentality that we're keeping moving forward is, you know, whoever comes in the dome, wherever we have to go, you know, it's about us. And we're going to go to practice. We're going to practice hard every week and try to put the best product on the field that we can, because we're at a point that, you know, we understand if we focus and we play the best ball we can play, there's no one that's going to beat us. And, you know, that's an exciting feeling. So, you know, the bracket's out and, you know, all that's cool. And you can speculate all you want, but we're focused on the next day and the next game and just playing as good as we can, because we know it doesn't matter who the opponent is if we can do that.
Back to work. I know a lot of people are excited for it. I know you are too. Good luck in the playoffs. Thanks for the time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Thayer.
That is Joey Lombardi, center for the University of South Dakota, joining us here on the Yotecast podcast as he gets ready for the FCS playoffs. He's been a great player at USD. He has spent, obviously, a lot of snaps on that offensive line and is a captain for a reason of this Coyote football team. I had a chance to catch up with Bob Nielsen. This happened during our pregame show of our Coyote basketball games on Monday. Coach stopped by to talk about the win on Saturday and a look ahead to this week for Coyote football.
Coyotes coming off of a thrilling come-from-behind victory to beat North Dakota State on Saturday, 29-28, rallying from 11 points down to the final 4 minutes to win that football game, clinch a share of the Missouri Valley Football Conference title, and assure themselves of a bye in the upcoming playoff field. Coach, first of all, congratulations. I know that this is something that your group has continued to work for and work extremely hard for. Congratulations. What a moment for this entire organization to feel on Saturday.
Yeah, really happy, obviously, for our players, for our staff, and for our fans. You know, it was something that this team actually set as a goal way back last December. Set course to accomplish that goal together, and we've played good football all year. Had an opportunity to be in a game at home to earn a share of a conference title, and our guys capitalized on that opportunity Saturday.
There's something about this team digging itself in a hole. We did it at Youngstown State, found a way to win. North Dakota found a way to win. North Dakota State, that's a little different animal. To dig yourself out of a hole with little time remaining against that program, that has to mean a great deal for this team.
Yeah, you know, it was a weird game in that regard, in that they had to dig themselves out of a hole. Yep. We start out fast, jump out to a 14-0 lead. You know, they come back, tie the game there right before half. A flurry of two scores in the last 4 or 5 minutes of the first half. We come out, get the lead again, and then they go on two really good drives. The one long one to take a two-score lead, and then we do the exact thing that they did at the end of the first half. We score twice in the last 4 or 5 minutes of the first half and find a way to win.
You've talked multiple times. This team remains focused no matter what's going on, but, I mean, down 11, 4 minutes to go. Honestly, some of the fans had checked out at that point because you're thinking, how in the world do we make this comeback? How do you keep that team focused? Obviously, the offense has to score one time. The defense has to get a stop, which it had struggled to do the previous few possessions against NDSU. And then you have to score again. How did this team, as a group, stay that focused to get this thing done?
Well, I think they have confidence. They believe in each other. You know, the times were not good then, and it would have been easy just to kind of let it go the other way, and our guys refused to do that. They battled and made some plays there offensively in that first drive to put points on the board, and then once we did that, all of a sudden we had the momentum and you know, trusted our defense to be able to get a stop. Did a great job with the kicking game, pinning them deep there, and had a chance then with the stop to gain really good field position for that last drive.
You know, what was really great about this comeback effort, it was guys who we haven't talked about a whole lot maybe up until this game who made huge plays. Javion Phelps makes the best catch of his career down the sideline and keeps himself in bounds. Then he probably makes the most memorable catch of his career to score to the go-ahead touchdown. And then on that last play, I mean, Nate Ewell, who has been a great addition to this linebacking group in this year at South Dakota, I mean, he makes that open field tackle on Bryce Lance that ends the ball game. And I thought it was really cool to see some of those guys really step up in a moment like this.
Yeah, Javion, a guy that, you know, as all guys, you know, they want to play as much as they can, a guy who's a role has been significant, but maybe not as much in terms of catches and those things that from a statistical standpoint, but took advantage of his opportunity on Saturday. We have a lot of guys that have done that all year, that when they've been asked to step up, play more, take a bigger role, carry the load, make a play, they've done that. And he's a perfect example of a guy that we talk about team first all the time in our program, and he's a guy that's put the team first all year.
We are visiting right now with head football coach Bob Nielsen. Coyotes, of course, are on their way to the FCS playoffs, and not only a playoff team, but a team that gets to be in the top eight, in fact, a number four seed in the field, and a bye in the opening round, which is this Saturday across the FCS playoffs. Coach, you look at the bracket, the seeding. What was your reaction to where the Coyotes ended up and just the opportunity ahead for this group?
Well, I figured we'd be in the top four. I didn't know where in the top four. I figured we weren't going to be number one, but thought we could have been anywhere from two to four. Didn't know how the committee was going to look at the fact that we were a game short with the game that we didn't play out at Portland State. And so not surprised, and with where we're at, and certainly pleased to have a bye this week.
Kind of felt like maybe with, some thought maybe South Dakota State would go up to the two spot, but they stay back behind North Dakota State. It kind of felt like the committee, I don't know if punish is the right word, but took into account teams that had a Division II team on their schedule. Did you feel like that was part of that conversation?
Well, it's, you know, they Division I wins, the number of Division I wins is part of the equation. And so the fact that we played Northern State and the fact that South Dakota State had played Augustana, and even though they were, you know, good teams at the Division II level, don't count the same way as a Division I win, even if that Division I team, possibly is not real strong.
Coach, when you take a look at, just obviously this win, and this team had a goal to win a championship, and they've got championship number one, and now they've got number two in mind. What's been the message to this team the last couple of days? I mean, you got to give them a chance to soak this in a little bit and enjoy it for yourself. But then it's back to work for this group, and I know they'll get back to work. But what's kind of been the message the last couple of days?
Yeah, we enjoyed the selection show. It was a good celebration to celebrate not just the fact that we were in the playoffs and we got a fourth seed, but also accomplishing something that no other South Dakota team in the Division I era has done, from winning the Missouri Valley Football Conference Championship. And at the same time, this group has been very businesslike all year, and they were pretty businesslike Sunday afternoon, and that we've got more to accomplish. And we get to start this next phase of our mission right here at home.
Coach, I got to ask you, obviously this is, it's great to win a championship, a conference championship anytime, but this is 2 years removed from a really difficult season that you went through and this team went through. How gratifying is it knowing that you got that vote of confidence 2 years ago to continue to build this thing, that we're on the right trajectory, and then last year we get the three seed in the playoffs, this year the four seed in the playoffs, and a share of the Valley Championship? How gratifying is this after, that really difficult season 2 years ago?
Yeah, I always felt we were on the right trajectory. That season was a step back from a record standpoint, but there was a lot of things that year that, were difficult. And our guys have responded, never got frustrated by that year. They just said 2 years ago, hey, that's not us. We're going to be a team that can compete for championships. They did that a year ago, and this year we get it done.
There's a group of those guys that, in today's world, they could have left and went somewhere else. They wanted to stick right here, and they wanted to get it done right here. I mean, it says a lot about those guys, and they might all need a statue outside the Dakota Dome someday, but it says a lot about that group and their commitment to where they're at right now.
Tremendous leadership group, and I think two things that shows. Number one, that they felt like this was a program that was committed to them and their development and had the ability to do something special, and they could be a part of that, and that's what we want our program to be about, a place where guys develop, a place where guys are committed to achieving greatness together and doing that while they're getting an outstanding education. And I look at this senior group that we honored in that last regular season game Saturday, and there's a lot of special people that I've had the opportunity to work with.
All right, we got the Thanksgiving holiday coming up on Thursday. Obviously, the team doesn't play on Saturday. How do you handle the next few days as far as continuing to get through some things? You don't know who you're playing until later on Saturday afternoon. Is this a team opportunity to watch that game together? How do you handle Thanksgiving and the holiday and all this stuff?
Yeah, so, you know, we'll practice tomorrow and Wednesday. You know, with the break, we are going to give our guys the opportunity that are close enough to be able to do it, a chance to run home for Thursday and Friday and spend Thanksgiving with their families, bring them back over the weekend and get started full scale on preparation. Obviously, won't know who we're playing till Saturday afternoon, but these couple of days of practices give us a chance to do some cleanup work, to do a little bit of advance work, some things that we feel we've got to be better at as we head into a playoff run.
Did you save all your prep from September just in case it's Drake?
Yeah, you know, that is an interesting situation. You know, when you look very seldom in the playoffs, do you have the possibility of playing a team for the second time. It happened to me once at Western Illinois. We ended up playing a regular season game against Illinois State, and we played them again the second round of the playoffs. So it's not totally, and of course last year with North Dakota State, but in the Valley, you kind of get used to that because so many teams make it. It's rare when it's a team outside the Valley.
South Dakota could play Drake. South Dakota State could play Incarnate Word, two teams that the teams met up in the non-conference this season. We'll see how it all shakes out. Coach, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it. Again, congratulations. And I know a lot of people are excited about what's ahead for Kiowa football. And by golly, I hope after this they sell a bunch of tickets for December 7th.
Yeah, you know, and John, I just want to say that to all the listeners. Man, that was a great crowd Saturday, and our guys appreciate the tremendous support that we had there Saturday afternoon. It was loud, and that crowd was a big reason that we were able to come back in that game. So let's come out again for that opening round of the playoff and have another great crowd.
Thanks, Joseph. Appreciate it.
That is Bob Nielsen, the head football coach at the University of South Dakota. Again, those conversations happened during our basketball pregame show. That was on Monday. So appreciate Coach taking the time and stopping by and having those conversations about Coyote football, because it's been an exciting stretch, obviously, with the Coyotes not only going to the FCS playoffs, but an opportunity to have this weekend off and a home game up until this semifinal round, unless, of course, there is an upset. Let's take a look at what is going on in Coyote athletics. Well, it's a little light over the course of the weekend. There's nothing going on because of the Thanksgiving holiday. So all of the teams scheduled away from any action over the course of the weekend. So once we wrapped up games on Wednesday evening, it was, a little break in Coyote athletics, and well-deserved, not only for the coaches and student-athletes, but for the fan base as well. It's been an exhausting, exciting last week of Coyote athletics. There's no doubt about that. But looking ahead, basketball teams are back in action next Wednesday. It's the Big Sky Summit Challenge. The men's team will take on Idaho State in the Sanford Coyote Sports Center, while the women's team will be on the road at Montana State in Bozeman with an 8 o'clock start time, so we'll be able to follow along both of those games next week in the Big Sky Summit Challenge. Track and field back in action next Friday, December 6th in the SDSU Holiday Invite. And then next Saturday, the men's and women's basketball teams both take on Northern Arizona. The women will be at home. The men will be on the road. So keep an eye out for all of that. And then, of course, football will take on the winner between Tarleton State and Drake. Those two are set to play tomorrow. 2 o'clock is the kickoff time for the Tarleton State Texans hosting the Drake Bulldogs. The winner will come to Vermilion next week, December 7th at 2 p.m. Sunday night is the selection show for volleyball, for the NCAA volleyball tournament, so keep an eye out for that and see where the Coyotes are going to go and who they'll get matched up with in the NCAA tournament. Again, that is Sunday on ESPN. All right, that's going to do it for us this week. I hope you have yourself a great Thanksgiving, great weekend. Stay safe if you're traveling and whatever you're doing. Stay tuned to GoYotes.com as well for all the latest scores, schedules, and news updates on Coyote Athletics. All right, that's it for me this week. I'm John Thayer. Thank you so much for all of your support. Thank you so much for your continued support of USD Athletics. It's been a great week, and I hope we can continue to take this momentum into the month of December. Have a great weekend. Stay safe, and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.